through Tuesday here, 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey with you. Dusty is off. He will be back tomorrow here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk about a team that you may think stinks right now, but maybe won't. And maybe a team that's supposed to be good that's going to stink. We'll get more into that coming up a little bit later on here on 96.5 The Fan. Yesterday, I kind of want to bring this in a little bit of a different order to kind of set up my day yesterday, Mac, if you don't mind, if I can do that, because it will lead into number 11 here for a second. I was watching ESPN at the J yesterday. They had by Kevin Clark on from X. You know, you've seen Kevin Clark. He was on our show, I think, at the Super Bowl.
I think we did have him on. I couldn't quite remember. I got to talk to him quite a few times, though, there at the Super Bowl. He was really nice.
Yeah, really good dude, right? And so he's on ESPN yesterday. They got him and Dano, and they're doing the big board of the Rams schedule, right? And how he thinks the Rams are going to finish that year. And he's going through it, and he ended up having the Rams like 15-2, and Dano was like 13-4 for the Rams. And you know, 15, I'm going to tell you, since they've gone to the 17-game schedule, only two teams have won 15 games in a season: Chiefs and Lions in the same year. 2 years ago.
Yeah, same year. That's everyone it. Was like, Chiefs, Lions, Super Bowl.
Yeah, right? And so 15 wins now is what people are aiming for the L.A. Rams. 15's a big number, and it's only been accomplished twice since we've had the 17-game schedule. Was this year 4 or 5 now of the 17-game schedule that we're in?
Yep.
I can't even remember anymore, right? It seems so long ago. But so I'm watching these guys at the J, and I'm listening, and they get up to where the Rams are going to play the Chiefs, right? And it's good TV, and I'm in. I'm like, is this where they're going to pick the Rams to stumble? You know, I'm getting kind of excited.
Yeah.
And Kevin Clark's like, man, this is a tough one. And I'm like, ooh, okay. All right, where are we going with this one? He goes, man, it's the Chiefs. It's Mahomes. They seem like they're back. He goes, but I've got to give a nod to the Rams based on overall roster construction.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. But it took him a while to decide what he was going to do. And I said, based on that, I'm good. I don't have a problem with that. He picked the Rams to win the game in a close one or whatever it was.
Yes.
Right? Doesn't matter. Picked the Rams to win the game. But it was all about that roster construction. And so I'm sitting there at the J, and I'm listening to all that, and I'm always thinking of ways to kind of bring this thing full circle and bring this home. And so I texted you yesterday. I said, do you think if these rookies pan out, the roster conversation about the Chiefs maybe mid-October will be completely different than what it is right now? Because I do. Because what we're watching right now quietly are rookies that could potentially dominate. We're talking about a fifth-round wide receiver, a fifth-round running back, a second-round defensive end. You know, we're talking about a lot of guys out there from this draft class that weren't the top picks that could have a major impact on this team. And I think once these guys do have that major impact and people see what they bring to the table, people will be talking a lot differently about this roster construction and this roster for the Chiefs moving forward than they are right now. I think that's what's holding them back, is that everybody just doesn't know how good these rookies can potentially be until we see them out there on the field.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, we don't know either, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen flashes. We like what we see. There's a lot of reasons to be hopeful and to be positive here. But it also isn't just about the rookies. Like, are these guys going to be put in the situations to succeed? Are they going to play enough? Are the coaches going to give them the plays, and whether it's Cyrus Allen giving him the routes where he's actually going to be able to get open and have a good scheme to run? Is R. Mason Thomas going to be in on the passing downs where he can really pin his ears back and go get the quarterback? So it's about multiple things.
Yeah.
There's lots of factors with that. But I'm way more hopeful than I was a month ago, a week ago, about this team and about the young guys. So I do think the roster construction perception, the conversation absolutely could change. There is no question about that in my mind. But to what extent, I don't know. Are all these guys going to be hits? More than likely not. But hey, that happened in 2022. Brett Veach has done that once before, where literally like everyone in the class was great and hit and was here on this team for quite some time. I'll say at least good. So that can happen again, and it looks like it's closer to that than it definitely was 2 years ago and in 2023.
Yeah, they've definitely made some strides with that. Like, you're feeling really good about this draft class. I don't know that we really feel great about draft classes the last couple of years. And so this brings us to ESPN doing their future power rankings for 27, 28, and 29. I think I'm going to sneeze in just 1 second. I'm not sure yet. So if all of a sudden you hear me sneeze.
Okay, perfect.
And they have the Chiefs ranked as the 11th best roster going into the next 3 years, 27, 28, and 29. And I looked at that and I went, with all the negativity that's been surrounding people's talk about this roster, projecting for the next 3 years to have the 11th best roster as of right now, I think that's pretty good, because I only think it's going to get better based on that conversation we just had about the entire roster. And if these rookies live up to what we think they're going to look up to or live up to, this roster is going to look completely different than what people have as their perception today, I think.
Yeah, and this was an article based on 27, 28, and 29.
Right.
So future roster, the next 3 years, not 26, and how does it look? And they rated it based on four different categories. The overall roster, excluding the quarterback,
right,
the quarterback, the coaching, and the front office. Those were their four rankings based on a 1 to 100 scale, basically giving you a grade, a C, a B, and A. The quarterback, obviously, number one. They gave it a 97.
Yeah.
Don't even know how it's not 100, but fine. It's a 97, ranked number one. I love that. Overall roster, excluding the quarterback, is where it worries me, because it was number 18.
Yeah.
They got a C, a 76.
Again, this is before we're seeing these young players, you know, see what they can do.
How much does that go up from 76, from 18 in the NFL, if those guys hit? Does it go up to 10? Does it go up to 15?
I think it goes up. That NFL overall. I think
the overall roster, excluding the quarterback,
yeah,
right?
I think it
right now they're at 18.
I think it goes up exponentially, because we're talking about, let's just talk it out loud real fast. If Delane, Peter Woods, Mason Thomas, Emmett Johnson, and Cyrus Allen all hit, that's a dramatic change of your roster.
Huge.
That is a dramatic change of your roster. It's a big change, and that's why I say exponentially changes. I don't know the formulas that all that or what they look at, and your eyes and my eyes obviously are completely different. So
what's a hit for our Mason Thomas? Like, what are we categorizing that as?
Well, see, you and I are completely different. I'm going to go with the eye test. If I know on third down I can rely on that guy to get to the quarterback and affect the play and get a sack, get a quarterback hit, knowing maybe they got to keep a tight end in to block this guy, or maybe they know that they've got to get an assistance with a guard, and that gives Chris Jones a little bit of an opportunity to push up the middle or something like that. I think for me, our Mason Thomas, and for a lot of these guys, it is going to be more about the eye test. Can I rely on that guy? Sometimes we make sports too hard, right? Well, this, that, but no. Can I rely on this guy to go out there and make a play? That's how I think I'll know with our Mason Thomas.
That's fair, and I think so far he does pass the eye test. Obviously, he's got the bend, he's got the speed, but I am going to be looking at stats. I mean, I am going to be looking at numbers. How often are you actually getting the quarterback? Not just sacks, but pressure, and they're going to need that number to be up. I mean, the last two seasons, the Chiefs have been in the bottom five, bottom 10 of pressure numbers, of sack numbers, and that is, I mean, dude, it's one in the trenches. It's old school, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even eye test guys go know that. You've got to be good in the trenches, and that means getting to that quarterback, getting him on the ground.
You've got to affect the quarterback.
Yeah, you have to, and our Mason Thomas has to be the center of that. If you're talking about the next 3 years, he is that guy. So if you think about these next 3 years, 27, 28, and 29, which is what this article is based off of, there's no 87. 95, maybe he's part of 27, but
maybe,
he's not
in
28 and 29.
Right.
So getting to the quarterback now all of a sudden is up to Peter Woods, R. Mason Thomas, and George Karlaftis. One of those three, hopefully two of those three, but one of those three guys kind of has to become a stud, a star, a premier type player, and maybe they add someone, but they were just basing off of what they have right now.
But isn't that funny that you took 87 and 95 out of this equation going forward, and they're still 11th
overall because of the quarterback?
Because of the quarterback, yes.
Yeah, because of the quarterback, and that's my concern. We know how good Mahomes is, but I don't want to watch his 30s having to carry this team on his back, which is in my opinion, these last two seasons, a little bit what's done. Coaching?
But they went out and they rectified that. They got the running backs, they went out and they got the right coaches for the wide receivers, and you know, there's only so many different players you can change over, but I think they made a concerted effort to take the pressure off of Patrick this year.
See, I like this text from the 816, a special player that makes plays and gets 8 to 12 sacks per season. That's great. That's a hit.
Yeah, we'll all know at the end of the year. We'll all know if Mason Thomas was a hit or not.
Coaching, they were ranked 12.
I don't understand this one.
They got an 85. They got a B. Is that because Andy Reid won't be here by 28 and 29?
I don't know.
Maybe
I didn't even think about
off.
That.
That's
I,
what they're going
I don't
off
know.
Of. That's interesting. I wish they have a little blurbs for everything, right?
Yeah, but they don't say anything about coaching.
Nothing in the coaching. They mentioned reasons for concern, and Lewis Riddick was the one who wrote that portion of the reason for concern. He mentions the running back position being fixed, but then mentions the concern for the wide receiver position and talks about hoping Cyrus Allen can elevate into a primary target. He does give second-year receiver Jalen Royals a mention, which I think is funny. I mean, that just shows you where the national guys are at. Jalen Royals is irrelevant to this team.
Lou's very tied into this team, though, having worked with Andy and all those guys in Philadelphia.
Which is what made me surprised that he mentioned Jalen Royals, who, in my opinion, is kind of irrelevant to this team currently.
Maybe not to Andy, though. Maybe not to Brett. Maybe not to, you know.
We'll see. I don't think he's a part of the future of this team succeeding. Front office, another little bit of a head-scratcher. 78 was their score, 13th in the NFL. I don't understand that.
Well, I don't get that.
Is that just GM front office? Is that the whole, like, what is that?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I don't know that there's 12 front offices in the NFL that are better than the Kansas City Chiefs, and I sure as hell know there's not 11 better coaching staffs and coaches in the NFL than what the Chiefs have. I mean, we talk about the Kansas City Chiefs in such a category of, like, if you look at Steve Spagnuolo, people will say, well, he's a Hall of Fame coach, even though there's no Hall of Fame assistant coaches because the NFL doesn't do that. Pro football doesn't have the assistant coaches go in. But people still call that guy a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator and a Hall of Fame head coach and a special teams coach that's looked at as one of the best in the NFL. Got to get better this year, Tobe. But
much better.
Yeah, but, too. I mean, those are three legitimately good, really good to great coaches that this organization has. So the coaching one makes me question it a little bit, too.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the division, you've got the Broncos at number 4, the Chargers at number 10, both those teams coming in the top 10 and ahead of the Chiefs. The Broncos, I mean, it's the exact opposite of what the Chiefs is. You look at what the Broncos are, their overall roster, excluding quarterback, they're tied for second. Mm-hmm. They got a B+, 87.7% was their score. Quarterback, they got a B-, they were 17th. And then their top 10 in coaching and in front office. The being sixth in coaching, way ahead of Andy Reid. Now, again, you're talking about the future. Sean Payton may be there for these next three seasons.
Right, right, right.
And that comes into a factor. I get that. But, yeah, it is interesting to look at. They are the exact opposite right now of what the Chiefs are. It's the quarterback kind of carrying the Chiefs' ranking, whereas the rest of the roster for the Broncos is carrying them.
Well, same thing with Seattle. Their roster rank is number 1. Their quarterback is 16. The Eagles. Quarterback is 14, roster 2.
Quarterback
Lions, quarterback 13, roster 6. Without the quarterback, you know?
Without the quarterback, roster 6, without the quarterback.
I mean, the Rams
exactly
quarterback
right.
is ranked 24th moving forward.
Yeah, because Stafford's here for this season.
That's right.
And then it's done.
Right.
And so how does that, you know, I know they've got the coaching, they've got the front office. You got the coach and they've got the best. They gave him a 95, they gave McVay number 1. Is McVay here in 2028, 2029?
Everybody's like, oh, Andy's going to be. What if McVay wins a Super Bowl and he bounces?
Yeah, and he's gone. Exactly right. They give them a great front office, and we know what Les Snead does over there for the front office, so I understand that. Patriots at number 6, Packers at number 7, and they're kind of even. You look at the Packers, you know, they're 7 with the roster, excluding the quarterback, 7 quarterback, just outside the top 10 in coaching, and then 7th front office. So they're pretty even as far as just being top 10, being in that 7th score. Texans 8, Ravens 9, and again the Chargers 10, and again pretty even. 13th roster excluding quarterback, top 6 quarterback, top 10 coach, top 8 front office. Solid ranking. So the Chiefs do need to hope that both the roster including the quarterback gets better, and to your point, the coaching, you mentioned all those new coaches, maybe that can improve their ranking from 12 in the coaching ranks as well, because of those Chad O'Shea additions, because of the DeMarco Murray, because of bringing back Eric Bieniemy and that accountability, maybe that gets that coaching ranking up as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of room for improvement on there, but I thought going forward in the future, where we are right now, not really knowing about these rookies who we think 5 could be superstars, that roster is going to change big time moving forward. People are going to fear the Chiefs here before long.
I do think that it's already starting to happen a little bit from that first preseason game. People are like, damn, Emmett Johnson looks really good. Oh, wow, Cyrus Allen actually does look like a target. And all of a sudden, you're like, okay, if they give Mahomes a reliable target along with Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy can blaze past people, and we saw what Tyquan Thornton to do, and Kelsey's still there, all of a sudden you start to kind of add it all together for this season, and people are going, okay, dang, they actually might be back. They might be back. And we've seen the last 2 offensive line rankings that I've seen, I think we've talked about one of them, have the Chiefs as top 10 offensive lines. That narrative's beginning to shift as well.
Yep, it really is. So a lot of good in the future for the Chiefs. They're hitting on all cylinders at this point in time. Eventually in the NFL, you got to win in the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to take care of business in the postseason, and especially if you are a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Dan Orlovsky, I mean, he's the lightning rod right now, right? And look, yeah. A lot of times we don't like and agree with what Dan Orlovsky has to say.
No.
I will give Dan Orlovsky credit. He sticks his neck out there, and he comes up with opinions, and he backs them up. They may not always be great, like, you know, Fernando Mendoza never played in a big game type of stuff. But I give the guy a lot of credit. Every once in a while, we're all going to step in it. And Dan Orlovsky said something the other day about Justin Herbert. They're on whatever NFL show he's on ESPN these days. And he says, everyone who hates on Justin Herbert, there's some validity to that he has not played his best football in the playoffs, but he still got them there. And I quote tweeted that. I go, some validity? He hasn't played great, Mac, in the postseason. And I think with quarterbacks, there are different stages of these guys and their careers in the NFL, right? You get drafted, you come in, you're a rookie. You're basically given a free pass that first year. Go out there, do what you want. Let's see what you can do. Play, do your thing. Then it's like, okay, let's take that next step. Let's start to win in the regular season. And obviously Patrick was a lot different than most of these rookie quarterbacks. He hit the ground running and never looked back. Mm-hmm. Most rookie quarterbacks do not do that, right? That when we talk about the greats of all time, Montana, you know, Brady, Mahomes,
yep.
You know, Manning, all of them had a little bit of a rocky start, but once they got going, they never looked back, right? Joe Montana had to play for his job all the time. Tom Brady was a bench player. Peyton Manning was 2-14 his first year, and Mahomes didn't see the field. So they all had those little bit, you know, of a rough start, but boom, once they took off and hit the ground running, again, they never look back. They never relinquished what they were able to go out there and accomplish. We judge every quarterback in the NFL and those five guys constantly right now. And so over the stages of your career, you're drafted, you have that rookie year. Then once you get to that second year, if you've shown signs, they went out, maybe got you some weapons. Then you're starting to win in the regular season. You're starting to get close to the playoffs. Then you get into the playoffs. And then eventually you get to that stage of your career where I don't really care about all this other stuff that you did. It's time for you to win playoff games. And I think, for my money, that's where Justin Herbert is right now. It is time for Justin Herbert to take that next step and to take that leap to go and win in the postseason. And that seemingly has become what we judge quarterbacks off of. That's how quarterbacks get paid. Teams win championships. Everybody celebrates them. Eventually, you have to do it in the postseason if you want to be considered a very good to great quarterback in this league. You have got to find a way to get it done when it matters the most. And until Justin Herbert does that, I'm still going to kind of put him on that fringe on the outside looking in to where we are. Because this is the year now, I would think. They've done everything for that guy. It's time for him to take it up to the next level and win in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think the conversation is twofold. There's no doubt there comes a point where if you are going to be that elite, that great, that franchise quarterback, yeah, the playoff success does have to come at some point. But I don't think it's everything. I think Herbert is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's a top eight quarterback, in my opinion. And I think getting to the playoffs is, depending on your situation, because we talk about it all the time, how much of situation matters for a quarterback and their success. Like, at least 50%.
A lot. I would say it's probably more than.
Yes.
It's 80% at least, I think, because you see guys with talent all the time in this league that come in and they just never realize their talent. Now, some of it is on them, obviously, but let's look at some of these quarterbacks, Mac, that have failed in the NFL and look at who their coaches were and what their situation was, right?
Exactly right. No, you can look at these coaches. That's why I still leave out hope for a guy like Anthony Richardson in the situation that he was in, or a guy, I mean, some people, I've got friends who are saying Shador Sanders, if he was in a different situation, would be better. I don't necessarily agree with that one, right?
Yeah, that's one I'm like, I'm out on, man. Right? But, I mean, you were dancing and you were a fifth-round draft pick, man.
Yeah, and you got the whole watch celebration. Yeah. Like, I'm done with the it's time whole thing. I'm done with that. But he's won 11 games each of these last two seasons, Justin Herbert. That should mean something. Regular season success, even given the situation. He had, I think it was 14 or 15 different people play on the offensive line last season. One of the worst offensive lines in the league. Definitely the worst offensive line situation as far as injuries were concerned. And he was able to get that team to the playoffs and compete in a really, really tough division. If we talk about his play as an individual, like he has been fantastic. Now, does he need to get back to what 2021, 2022, 2023 statistically were in some aspects? Sure, but he protects the ball. He whips the ball around the yard. And if you talk about his situation, I mean, He hasn't had the best situation his whole career. Now it is year three with Harbaugh. They have done well. Seemingly,
is it only year three?
This is year three in the Harbaugh era. The offensive line right now is healthy. They have a good offensive line when healthy. Maybe the best two tackles in the league, both of which were hurt last year. This is a year that it does need to happen. He will do Futures Week in a couple of weeks, and I'll be talking about him a lot for one of the awards. That just a tease there. Because he will be my pick for one of the awards. But I will say,
Defensive Player of the Year for Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert, it's on the way. I will say, him winning that one game against the Raiders to make the playoffs in 2023 to go. Then
was that the one where they like a tie would have put both of them in, and the coaches effed it up at the end?
Yes, like he won that game. That was a win and in. Like that's a playoff game to some extent. Like that was a win and in game. That was a playoff atmosphere. And I will say, you're right. He has not played well in the playoffs. I do think last year was pretty solid for the situation that he had. They only put up 3 points against New England. But again, he got sacked 6 times, and he completed. He was 19 for 31 for 160 passing yards. Like, Ladd McConkey took a massive step down. Quentin Johnston so far has been a drop machine
Good last year, though.
He had a really, yes.
I mean, what a bounce back for that guy.
He had a bounce back season. No, he had a big bounce back season.
Because he was the guy that everybody was making fun of all year long. And that I give that kid a lot of credit, man. I was talking to somebody yesterday about athletes and social media and how immediately they go to their locker after a game and they read what people are saying, especially after a bad loss, right? These guys are all in their locker room looking at their phones. And for Quentin Johnston as a rookie to see what everybody was saying.
First round pick.
I mean, I want to give him a standing ovation because he could have let that get to him and he could have been derailed mentally because of the way that he was being treated and harassed on social media. So the fact that he came back last year and had a big year, man, kudos to that kid. I'm listening to you and you're making a great case for Justin Herbert, because as I'm listening to you, I go, if the names were flipped and it was Patrick Mahomes and he had all these issues, I'd be saying about Patrick Mahomes didn't have the offensive line. And you're right. The fact that that offensive line has been as bad as it's been from a health standpoint, and he never really missed a beat.
No.
I mean,
plays through injury, plays with the broken hand.
And I was thinking that to myself last year. I'm like, oh, eventually this is going to go south. And it never did.
They kept it up. And I will say, if we judge, playoffs are a big part of it, but if we judge a quarterback based solely on playoffs, I mean, you're going to have Jalen Hurts above Justin Herbert. And in my eyes, the way I judge it, that's ridiculous to me. Mm-hmm. To me. Even though he's been to 2 Super Bowls, even though he's won those playoff games, put Herbert on the Eagles, I think it would be even better.
I always go back to what Danen has to say, the win with or win because of, you know, and I don't know right now if Justin Herbert is a win because eventually you have to be that guy that shows me you're the win because of.
I agree.
When those moments have mattered most, it's like the Derek Jeter thing. Not the best shortstop of his era, but damn, you won because of Derek Jeter, you know?
Yeah.
And say what you want about Jalen Hurts in those 2 Super Bowls. Holy crap, was he good.
He was great in the 2 Super Bowls. Leading up to it, he was at best a game manager, and he was able to be a game manager because of that fantastic situation.
And then on the
in.
Biggest stages, he starred. Yes. I mean, that's what you want. You want your stars to shine on the biggest stages. And so I just haven't seen that out of Herbert. And how many years do we give somebody to, Mac? I don't know the answer to that question.
I think it depends on a lot of context. I will say I agree with you. This is a big year for Herbert. He needs to show up. He needs to show out, and he needs to –
This is his third head coach, too.
This is his third head coach, and this is the third year with his best head coach that he's had by a long shot, and the best offensive coordinator he's had by a long shot. Mm-hmm. It's time. I'm not going to say you have to win a playoff game, but you need to make the playoffs and at least play fantastic.
Yeah, play great in the playoffs, and if you lose, don't make it because you didn't get the
exactly
job
right.
done.
Exactly
don't be like
right.
Josh Allen and throwing it 40 yards behind you.
Exactly.
You know, and expecting everybody to say, oh, no, that wasn't Josh's fault. The ball was wet. We got some home runs last night. We got some money going, huh?
Hey, yes. And of course, this year we've partnered with KCUC, who's donating $50 to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for every home run the boys in blue hit this season. 1 in 8 men will face prostate cancer. Early detection saves lives. At KCUC, Kansas City's largest, most experienced, and most advanced urology team, you see the best in KC. Schedule today at kcuc.com. And this season, 126 home runs, $6,300. And Bobby Witt blasted 1 yard last night. Him and Cags were fantastic hitting back-to-back. That is a deadly duo. If they can surround that duo, man, if they can surround that duo with competency.
Mm-hmm. Whew, Yeah, it's a good duo.
It's it may be the best duo in KC sports.
It may be right now. We'll have to see.
Yes.
I'm not ready to go there quite yet.
No, that's fair.
That one, I'm close. Coming up here, F it, it's Denver. We'll tell you who and why next.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Peter Woods, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.